I'm able to connect to each people or to each person in at least like some way, where whether it's the language I'm speaking or where I'm from or where I've been, and it's just a way for you to connect with people.
A campus controversy lost in translation in the United States. It's Friday, February 1st, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Also ahead, the U.S. and China struggle to build a massive new trade deal, preparing for a second U.S.-North Korea summit, and giving Downward Dog new meaning. It's all on today's VOA Asia. President Donald Trump spent a large portion of his Thursday meeting with Chinese negotiators, working to reach a trade deal between the two nations before new tariffs take effect March 1st. The president expressed confidence that the United States and China would reach such a deal, but warned that any agreement must include sweeping changes to China's economic policies. Otherwise, Washington would move ahead with stiffer tariffs on Chinese goods. In remarks in the Oval Office, Mr. Trump said any agreement that he made with Chinese President Xi Jinping must go far beyond China simply buying more American products and include an unprecedented opening of its markets to American businesses. Well, joining us now from the White House is VOA correspondent Patsy Witakuswara. Thank you so much for joining us. Can you give us a sense, what are the major holdups here in these negotiations?
Well, in general, there are three areas where it's very difficult for the U.S. and China to achieve consensus. Number one is intellectual property. As we know, the U.S. accuses China of stealing intellectual property from American firms, this kind of forced technology transfer to do business in China. The second area is market access, because China's economic success has been built on the platform of a centrally planned, targeted approach, state-owned companies, and which is just completely the opposite of how U.S. companies function. And the larger issue is also the third one, which is the Made in China 2025. This is China's industrial roadmap, in which the U.S. sees as a direct challenge to American supremacy in key sectors such as aerospace or semiconductors. So those three areas really is a sticking point in these negotiations. Therefore, the Trump administrations have signaled that it may just come down to a smaller initial deal that would stave off additional tariffs but not roll back the already placed on $250 billion worth of Chinese imports.
So I know that these are the world's two largest economies, but I'm curious, what can you give us a sense as to what's at stake for each nation, because they must have different interests going into these negotiations?
Yes, that's correct. And we also have to remember that the two economies are so intertwined that hurting each other with tariffs also means hurting yourself. For example, as we know, American soybean farmers are hurting from the tariffs, but the Chinese hog farmers are also hurting because an increased price in American soybeans means increased price in their pig feed. So hurting your enemy is also hurting yourself. So there has to be a line drawn somewhere between hurting or applying trade that would also not hurt your economy too much. And that's the game that the two of them are playing, and we just have to see who blinks first.
Right. Two quick questions for you. One, to what degree is the detention of the Huawei CFO, chief financial officer in Canada, hanging over these negotiations?
Well, everybody's saying that, you know, the fact that it happened on Monday and then trade talks are happening yesterday and today, it's, you know, to the Chinese, there's nothing such as a coincidence. That's just their cultural belief. But the U.S. insists that those two things are not linked, that the trade negotiations are happening separate of the indictment of Meng Wanzhou, and that it's not being used as a leverage. That's something that Sarah Sanders has stated, and also other administration officials. And I think China is also trying to keep the process separate as well. But as we know, you know, it's happening at the same time, and it has perhaps somewhat overshadowed the talks, although President Trump has insisted that the Meng Wanzhou case has not been, the Huawei case has not been included in the discussions today.
And briefly, we've heard earlier that President Trump is optimistic. That may just be a bargaining stance. We don't know. But is there any movement that you're hearing on a potential Trump-Xi meeting or summit?
Well, he has definitely hinted at that several times today. The first time was through his tweet this morning, where he says that he will no final deal will be made until my friend, that's what he calls President Xi, President Xi and I meet in the near future to discuss and agree on these things. So as we know, President Trump likes to do these deals on a very high summit level. He likes, he counts on personal relationships. And experts have said that this is just the way he makes deals. He deals with people who whom he thinks that he has a good personal chemistry with. And so this, if it does happen in the near future, some media outlets are saying that it could happen as early as end of February, around the time that President Trump will meet with Kim Jong-un of North Korea. If it does happen, then it would be their second meeting after their last meeting in December in at the G20.
All right. Thank you so much for the thoughts today.
You're welcome.
VOA White House correspondent Patsy Wiedekuswara. You can follow all of our coverage and the latest business news at our website, voanews.com. These are among the top Asia stories that you'll find right now on voanews.com. Sultan Abdullah Sultan Ahmad Shah officially assumed the throne as Malaysia's new king during a coronation ceremony on Thursday. A new U.S. report says Afghan security forces are shrinking and gaps in security are growing. Power outages hit around 45,000 homes across Sydney's eastern suburbs as a forecast 40 degrees Celsius heat wave hit the harbourside city. And the leader of India's main opposition Congress party, Rahul Gandhi, promised to provide the poor with a minimum income if his party wins an upcoming general election. Expanded coverage of these stories and more at voanews.com. And VOA Asia continues. Duke University has apologized after a professor warned international students against speaking Chinese on campus and urged them to speak English. The professor, Megan Neely, has since been asked to step down from her role. VOA's Anna Cook has details and reactions from students here in Washington, D.C.
A Duke University professor sent an email to all first and second year biostatistics graduate students urging Chinese students to speak in English. The email stated that speaking in Chinese may have unintended consequences. The professor sent a follow-up apology email, but the incident sparked a debate on social media, with international students demanding the freedom to speak in their first language.
We have a class in the classroom. We should better say English. If I have a choice, I will choose speak Chinese to each other.
An Egyptian student who speaks English, Japanese, and Arabic with her friends says being able to speak in different languages is an integral part of her college life.
I'm able to connect to each people or to each person in at least like some way, where whether it's the language I'm speaking or where I'm from or where I've been, and it's just a way for you to connect with people.
Both international and domestic students we've spoken to here say a college campus should be a safe haven for students to speak any language they want at any given time.
Everyone should have the same freedom. Everyone should have the same opportunity to do what they need to do and to go to their classes and perform the best that they can in a way that makes them feel comfortable.
While the overwhelming response has been critical of the Duke professor's email, some international students agree the professor had good intentions. Other professors say the incident was a lost opportunity of learning for both the professor and the international students at Duke University.
I think what would have been ideal if she had had an opportunity to sit down with the students, apologize to the students, learn from them, and maybe in that process have the students hear in a more appropriate way why it might be a benefit to them to take advantage of some additional opportunities to interact with Americans.
Since the controversy, the dean of the Duke University School of Medicine released a letter saying that the professor asked to step down from her position as director of graduate studies for the master's program. Anna Cook, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, major stocks in the region closed mixed on Thursday. The Shanghai Composite gained around 0.35%, and the Shenzhen component rose about 0.12%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index gained about 1% in its final hour of trading. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. And we're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said Wednesday that he was dispatching a team to make preparations for the next summit between President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. VOA's Steve Miller has more from Seoul.
In an interview on the U.S. cable network Fox News Channel, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the North Koreans had agreed the second summit between the two leaders would be held at the end of February.
That's the plan. That's what the North Koreans have now agreed to. It's what we've agreed to with them as well. We'll do it someplace in Asia.
Pompeo did not name the summit venue, but many suspect the meeting will take place in Vietnam. A summit between Trump and Kim last June in Singapore produced a vague commitment by Kim to work toward the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Steve Miller, VOA News, Seoul. Version 2. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told the U.S. cable network Fox News Channel that he expects President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un to meet sometime before the end of February in Asia. Pompeo said he is dispatching a team to prepare for the summit.
They're headed that way now to lay the foundations for what I hope will be a substantial additional step towards the path for not only denuclearization of the peninsula, but a brighter future for the North Korean people.
Pompeo did not name the summit venue, but many suspect it will take place in Vietnam. Steve Miller, VOA News, Seoul.
What is it like to study in the United States, and what do you have to do to get here? The Student Union is VOA's blog that follows students from all over the world as they face challenges and opportunities of studying at American universities. Log on at blogs.voanews.com/student-union.
This news alert from VOA Asia, Saudi Aramco is well positioned to expand its market share in Asia through the acquisition of stakes in refining and other projects in the region, according to a new report. This comes as news this week says Aramco plans to acquire up to 20% stake in South Korean refiner Hyundai Oil Bank. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. VOA Asia continues. High-stakes political negotiations began Wednesday in Washington that could determine whether the United States government will be plunged into another partial shutdown come the middle of February. A bipartisan group of Senate and House members will try to craft a compromise on funding border security, the issue at the heart of the 35-day government shutdown that ended last week. VOA senior national correspondent Jim Malone takes an inside look at how congressional leaders are trying not to repeat the shutdown.
Government workers back on the job in Washington after the longest shutdown in U.S. history. The affected agencies reopened after President Trump and opposition Democrats agreed to work toward a compromise on border security. Trump issued a fresh warning on Twitter that any agreement must include funding for a border wall, following up on a vow he made when the shutdown ended last week.
The government will either shut down on February 15th again, or I will use the powers afforded to me under the laws and the Constitution of the United States to address this emergency.
But there appears to be little appetite for another shutdown among Republicans, including Senate Leader Mitch McConnell.
I don't like shutdowns. I don't think they work for anybody, and I hope they'll be avoided.
Opinion polls found that the public largely blamed Trump and Republicans for the shutdown, something Democrats like Senator Chuck Schumer have eagerly pointed out.
I hope this serves as a lesson to President Trump and all of my Republican colleagues. No more shutdown. President Trump touched a hot, hot stove, and hopefully He won't do it again.
Several polls show the president's approval rating dipped below the 40% range as the shutdown dragged on, suggesting possible long-term damage for Trump. Brookings analyst Elaine Kmark.
It looks like we've hit a turning point of sorts. The president severely misjudged the effects of the shutdown on ordinary people. Nobody in that White House really truly understood how important federal government functioning was to the whole American economy.
So we're going to do it, and we're doing well.
Some Trump supporters hope the president learned a lesson from the shutdown impasse, and they expect him to rebound, including former Governor Chris Christie.
He's fearless. I mean, he's fearless in a way that I've seen few people in politics be fearless. And so those are all good points. But when you act on impulse and you don't have a plan sometimes, as I think what happened with the shutdown, it doesn't end well.
Given the shutdown's unpopularity, many Trump supporters expect the president to declare a border emergency to build the wall if Congress fails to find a compromise. The campaign promise of a wall is just too important, says analyst John Fortier.
It was a slogan on the campaign trail. This is something that he doesn't want to be seen as completely capitulating on, and that makes it very tough to compromise.
Donald J. Trump. On the other hand, Trump could weaken his own reelection hopes by his singular focus on pleasing his core supporters, says Elaine Kmark.
He has not tried in his 2 years in office to expand his base. That's a disaster for a president, because inevitably some of your base is going to peel away.
Mr. Speaker!
The president's next best opportunity to make his case on a border wall is Tuesday's State of the Union address before a joint session of Congress and a national television audience. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
And you're listening to VOA Asia. This news alert from VOA Asia: Facebook says it will bar foreign-based election ads in Thailand in the lead-up to March elections after being pilloried for not controlling election interference on the platform. The Thai elections are set for March 24. All the big stories coming your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, from Sweden to southern Spain and the Netherlands to Hungary, populist forces have gained seats in recent elections, and they now see a chance at power in Brussels itself. Europe is gearing up for EU parliamentary elections in May, a vote where the balance of power could shift decisively. VOA's Henry Ridgewell has this report.
An 11th weekend of yellow vest protests across France. Amid this fevered atmosphere, campaigns for the May European Parliament elections are getting underway. Populist forces, backed by the power of street protests, look set to make the upcoming vote unlike any other in the bloc's history, says analyst Michael Kotakis of the London School of Economics.
It's an opportunity to hit the piñata when the establishment presents it to you and get your policy opinions across. The height of a delayed populist political backlash against a long period of economic hardship.
French far-right leader Marine Le Pen is seeking to align her National Rally Party with the yellow vest protesters. Pensioner Patricia, who joined the protests, welcomed Le Pen's support.
Elle a compris que c'était, on n'était pas méchants. On était juste là.
She says that Marine Le Pen understood that we were not bad, that we were just there because we were starving, that is all. We are hungry, we are cold, we need money. And money is given to all the foreigners. Across Europe, populist forces are attempting a coordinated assault on the May parliamentary elections. Here is Italy's far-right Interior Minister Matteo Salvini weighing in on the French protests.
E quindi spero che I francesi possano liberarsi da un...
In a video posted this month on social media, he said he hopes that the French can free themselves from a terrible president, and the opportunity will come on May 26th. Salvini is trying to form alliances with governments in Hungary and Poland. their common foe, immigration. But there are major contradictions, says Luigi Scazzieri of the London-based Centre for European Reform.
With Italy wanting other countries to take migrants, but Hungary, for example, having absolutely no intention of doing so.
Europe's populists are divided on many issues, says analyst Michael Kotakis.
Italy is a member of the Eurozone, Poland is not. And then in terms of foreign policy, very importantly, Poland is a great believer in the NATO alliance, terrified of Russia, greatly mistrusting of Vladimir Putin, whereas Salvini openly has expressed support.
Political battle lines are being drawn. Several hundred self-styled Red Scarf protesters staged counter-demonstrations Sunday in Paris, waving EU flags. In Hungary, the same flag has been at the forefront of growing anti-government demonstrations. In Germany, the Green Party has overtaken the far-right AfD in the polls. Populists are fast discovering they do not have a monopoly on the street. The real test of strength will come at the ballot box on May 26th, a vote that could change the balance of power in Europe. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Finally today, some people take their pet dogs everywhere they can. One place they're always welcome is at Doga, which is yoga classes for dogs and humans. VOA's Deborah Block takes us to a Doga class in Alexandria, Virginia.
Up overhead. Pet parents do their yoga poses as their dogs walk around and socialize. This is Doga, a fun, relaxing way to connect with your pet while getting some exercise. Here at Emma Vet in Alexandria, Virginia, owner and veterinarian Veronica Jarvinen decided to start Doga classes a few months ago.
Everybody giggles the whole time and, you know, dogs roam from person to person, and I think it just brings everybody a lot of joy.
Doga was started by an American fitness coach more than 15 years ago. Some of the poses the dogs do naturally take time for the humans to learn.
You can do puppy pose, which is where your hips stay up and everything else kind of stays the same.
Ashley Stewart is a yoga instructor who decided to give teaching Doga a try.
So it's definitely less focused on the human yoga practitioner and more focused on the human and the dog connecting. The dogs really start to emulate what the humans are doing. We have often accents that we're cleaning up during the middle of the class, or dogs who are barking.
Wendy Kuo, a veterinarian in Maryland, is taking her first Doga class.
I like kind of having them running around. They just are so curious and they have so much love to give, and I felt like that's what I felt when I was practicing with them.
Doga helps create a stronger bond between the pet parent and pup.
You can come to your toes to the ankle.
Mike Salinas enjoys cuddling the dogs.
All dogs want are our affection and attention. This is just an hour of they get that partnership with us, and it's perfect. It's relaxing. It's a good workout.
Beth Barrett is a college student who isn't able to get a dog right now, so she enjoys other people's four-legged friends.
I love dogs and I love yoga, so it's a perfect combination of both.
As the class comes to an end with the resting pose, both people and dogs are ready to relax.
Good job, dog.
That's your favorite.
Yay. Yeah.
Maybe it is a little crazy, but it does bring more of the peace aspect to yoga for you and the animal. It also helps that bond you create.
Deborah Block, VOA News, Alexandria, Virginia.
Not for me. Well, anyway, that is VOA Asia for today and for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope to see you again next week on Monday. And until then, have yourselves a great weekend.